Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Health and Safety Week conference call. My name is Christine, and I will be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please key star zero, and we will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host for today, Becky Lumlock. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Wessex's Safety Hour for this week. You're in for a treat because it's a double act today. So I'd very much like to welcome and say thanks for coming to AJ Yates, who will be known to many of you. And AJ is the RMT national lead on health and safety for us. So very pleased he's able to join us today. Thanks to you for so many of you for coming. Standing room only in here, which is great to hear, and hopefully a few people listening in too. So this is a very special week because it's our Health and Safety Week. So there's a whole programme of activities going on, which we're keen for you all to get involved in, and I'll talk a little bit more detail about that in a little while. First of all, if you can get the double up to it. Oh, yes. This is the agenda. Okay, so what we're just going to run through is to talk a little bit about what is Health and Safety Week, what's it all about, what does it mean? And we're really going to focus in this week on close calls, both on raising them and raising really good quality close calls, and also on closing out those close calls. What is collaboration and the health and safety principles that are underpinning this week of collaboration on health and safety? We'll touch on that. And then giving you some examples of collaboration on the route in the realms of health and safety, and actually seek some examples perhaps from you from the floor about that. And then looking forward, how can we improve on that collaboration? So if we just talk about close calls for a minute, you mentioned up here about period 11, because that was actually when we had complete data when we were putting this presentation together. We've obviously moved on a little bit since then. But even by period 11, we'd identified and raised 450 close calls, which took the sort of full year total at that point to over 4,000 close calls that were raised. And then the importance of close calls, I'm sure, will be familiar to all of you, but not only is it a great achievement, but they're really important, because by raising them and by closing them out, you can actually prevent other accidents from happening. And we talk a lot about close calls and the close call closeout race, if you like. And at the end of this financial year, we're at or around 80% of the close calls that have been raised actually being closed out. So essentially, That equates to 3,200 close calls that have been raised and then closed out. And if you think each one of those could have potentially caused one of us an accident, that's a huge amount of work, not only in raising them and closing them out, but actually in preventing workforce harm. So that's why they're so critical. So we're just going to touch on a few aspects of close calls, and in particular, who to call first and what to do, because it does vary a little bit depending on what condition or what behaviour you're seeing when you're observing what might be reported as a close call. So for example, I guess most importantly, if you see something that represents immediate danger and a threat to safety of the line, essentially the first thing to do is obviously report it to the signaller, and then after that report the close call. Another example might be a near miss or some unsafe working that you observe. And the process then essentially is to report that through to route control and then report the close call. And then finally, in an example where there's a potential for harm, which might represent quite a few of the close calls, if it's safe to do so, the best thing to do is close it out there and then, so remove the hazard, if at all possible, if it's safe to do so, and then afterwards report the close call. Okay, so we've just got a couple of examples here of fairly recent kind of close calls. Pictures aren't absolutely fantastic with the lights on, but bear with us. So here we've got some examples of some scrap and debris having been found in the cess here at Byfleet, on the Byfleet curve there. And as a result of the close call being raised, obviously the scrap and the debris was taken from the cess there on the Byfleet curve. And effectively, you know, we all know quite how many people we have who are hurt through trips and falls, and quite often in the cess. So this is an example of, you know, where it was safely removed and so on to hopefully prevent some future accidents. And another example here at Dorchester South, And this was essentially the replacement of a displaced trotting load. It was between Dorchester South and Upway, and again to reduce trips and falls in the Seth there. And it also, by replacing that, it essentially obviously prevented cable damage as well, as potentially being a slip or trip hazard. And obviously, you know, in terms of helping to prevent cable damage, that could also cause service disruption if it hadn't been closed out. Okay, so what is Health and Safety Week? So essentially, it's a week of joint activities between trade unions and Network Rail on a whole host of different activities, focusing this time on closing out the coast calls collaboratively, as I've said. And it's really building on the success of the first one, which I believe was in October of last year. So it's open to everybody, and we're very keen for everybody to get involved. And really, it's all about collaboration and breaking down barriers and having the opportunity to perhaps work in different areas from that which you would normally get the opportunity to do. We're clearly very keen to kind of learn from the work our lead health and safety reps do nationally as well, and try and sort of learn something about best practice that's seen elsewhere, perhaps on other routes, and bring it into practice here in Wessex. And we obviously all, it's obvious, isn't it, we work best together when we work collaboratively. So everybody's encouraged to kind of get involved. And we'll talk a bit about these activities that are on this week. So tomorrow there's a group of us going to Yeovil, at Yeovil Junction and Penmill, for the day, actually. There are various area site visits going on in a DU today. And you can see we've got a whole spectrum of activities going on in terms of signalling level crossing safety briefs, asbestos, we've got the route crime team doing various visits, including security visits, a driver safety day here later in the week, and the last two of the safety workshops are taking place this week at Woking, both during the day, and then there's a group of us also doing them in the evening as well. So if you'd like any more information on these, and we'd really like to encourage people to get involved, please do speak to your line manager or Tina, the details at the top there, to try and get involved. We're very keen to have as many people involved as possible, because apparently last time we were the route who had the most activity, and they were all really good compared to the other routes. And I always like Wessex to be the best route, as you know. So let's keep that going.
Right.
Great. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So can you hear me all right? Yeah. Right. So what is collaboration? That's a bit odd, isn't it? But we've got some words there, but what we actually mean by it is actually where we all get together, because unlike on the industrial side, on the health and safety side, it's a round table. There is not really them and us. The only difference we have is often how we get there. So there's a little picture there, but maybe 5 or 6 years ago you wouldn't have had that sort of collaboration. You wouldn't have had a rep with a couple of managers, but we've actually come together. As Becky said, we do work better when we actually work together. So just building on the health and safety principles, which is your basic plan, do, check, plan, act, plan, do, and check. It's mostly, the most important part is about where we check. And why we've chosen close calls this time is because what we find from going around, and it's always the same wherever you go, there's a lot of people talking amongst themselves in signal boxes, in DUs, about things that are going wrong because they think it's not right. But actually nobody's actually putting in the system. So there's a lot of effort being talked about what could be, and then what you find is you go to another DU and they've got a similar problem, another box has got a similar problem. So a classic one is like the line blockages. I've got signalers up and down the country getting to me about things wrong, which has led then to a step change of us changing the 019. But the thing about the 019, the close call, and why it fits in with the health and safety principle, is that if you see an unsafe act or somebody acting unsafe, you should report it. It is the law. But it also means that we look after each other so we get to a better place. So, how do we collaborate? Well, you've got there, as I say, about the health and safety system. You've got the home safe plan that we've all got various functions within. If you haven't got any of these information, or you know somebody that wants it, please contact us so we can send it off to you. You've got within this route the work safe improvement plan. You've got issues about near misses and irregularities. Obviously, there's the safety workshops, as Becky said. We've just actually started doing the safety workshops on another route, the South East route, because Bond's moved over there, so they're slightly behind you, but obviously you still are leading pole. And it's how we manage and close out close calls. And I do like to try and get each route competing with each other, because that tends to improve safety. So I'll tell John when I see him on Thursday how wonderful Kent and Sussex are, just to sort of keep the impetus. Now we have a National Health and National Health and Safety Council. They meet four times a year, every 3 months. Just to give you an idea of a close call, I actually close called the National Safety Council because we got there once and there was none of the senior managers there. So I actually close called Network Rail, Phil Houghton and Elizabeth Fromling, which was quite a career booster, and refused to sign out the close call until they'd actually met four times a year, because as far as I was concerned, that was a behavioural close call, that if safety is so important and the safety leaders cannot turn up at the top safety, well, we might as well pack up and go home. Now, fortunately, Mr. Houghton took it with grace, and I've still got a job. But I would say to all the reps out there, please don't stand for it. If you've got a meeting and it's diary, those meetings are very important. Your health and safety inspections are very, very important. When you do your inspections, all health and safety reps, there is no reason you can't add close calls as you see them into your inspection. Put it on the B form. Use both avenues. We have, obviously, safety investigations, joint safety inspections. So if there's an incident goes on and needs a level 1, 2 or 3, then I'll be contacted by the appropriate rep. There's a few of the reps here that I've managed to put on the investigations. And we have the Fair Culture panels. Believe it or not, I've been asked to look at running some of the Fair Culture panels, a sort of giant twister board that I developed for going through the flowchart with some of the HR business leads around. Because they haven't actually been taught through it from the safety side, because they're more on the IR side and it hasn't involved everybody. So, we've got some national joint working groups. One of those is like fatigue, manual handling, HAVS is another one. One that I'm involved in, and Matt and a few others, is the National Line Blockage Group. Most of them are in there, and what we've tried to do is actually try to get the end user into the working group up front, because what tends to happen on the railways, and having been on too many years, you end up with something being given to you and they say, oh, this is to help you improve, and it doesn't work, or you go, well, that doesn't fit. So most of these working groups are actually about putting the end user up there, so we do need the reps to get involved, and then the reps can actually source the information from all the members around, and that comes from managers or staff. It's surprising how many concerns I get raised to me from the management side as much as staff side, because it's a way of getting into the system.
So on the route, I just wanted to touch on, for example, the Workforce Safety Improvement Group, which probably involves a few of you. And this was set up before my time, but really to kind of look at what are the top kind of causes of harm that we have in the Wessex route, and what tangible tactical kind of actions can we take to really try and reduce those accidents from happening. And I've been to a number of those group meetings and so on, and they've been fantastic in terms of the progress they're making on really sort of, you know, targeting driving through a number of things there. So there's been quite a lot on sort of driver training. They've done a huge amount on access points and having the signs on all the access points to enable it. They're trying to now get an app where it would have all the information about all of the access points. Where you can park, where the nearest toilet would be, all sorts of stuff on there. So some really, really useful strands of work that the team are doing there. This is where you can join it.
Yes.
So really just to sort of open it to the floor for any questions or any examples or success stories you wanted to share with us around sort of collaboration, particularly in the health and safety space, or any questions you've got and the difficult questions affected.
No. So come on, there must be some of you that have actually had, I can start picking people out if I have to, but Matt, would you like to say that? And to give you another one, this one that I started following on from the line blockage was about T3s, because we were having quite a few point run-throughs with inside T3s, and so I started looking at what happens. And surprisingly, there isn't a common T3 form across the whole country for any signaller in any box. Every signal box has a different form. So I've raised it at national to sort of kick off a national working group, because if we don't have a national form, we don't have any control on how the T3 is taken. There's no guide to how the comms, what you must do. I find signallers up and down the country taking it in different ways or not doing the same way. And it all comes from the same rule book, same train. But what it also means is the poor old PICOB is getting information in slightly different order because there is no consigned way of doing it, which could be leading to risks. So we're actually finding in some areas signalers are not, for instance, making sure the points are laying in the right position when they hand the T3 over, which you're supposed to, but there's no form or anything to tell you. So there's an example of how we can start it. So I've got a series of reps around the country, we've got some managers, we've got Paul Ashton and the National Compliance all come together just to do it. But we've already started rolling out a few things that have come from that. So is there any more that anybody here has likes to add? Is there, that you've had successes or a little bit of collaboration? Rog, you must have some. Yep. Absolutely. It's more of a do with, isn't it, than a do to. And the other thing that I'm trying to do with the reps is that you find something in the workplace, so you take it to your health and safety meeting or you give the inspection. But actually, if it's a problem in the workplace and it affects you, it isn't actually somebody else's. You can't just pass the monkey to the manager and say, there you go, you deal with it. So I want the reps to take a bit more ownership of it. And if that means we've got to seek release or something to try and resolve it, then we share it, we work in collaboration to actually try and solve the thing together because it affects all of us and it, the idea is to get us all home safe. So, any more? Paul, would you like to add some from the ops? Anybody else like to follow that?
That's pretty hard, that's a challenge.
So, just going on, I know Sandra's at the back, so obviously going back probably too many, 10 years, we used to have regular arguments when we had accidents, incidents, and signalers and causes, etc., would be just charged with gross misconduct. Now we have the fair culture process, so if there is a safety align incident or an accident out there, we always make sure we get to root cause. So that's a way of collaboration, because in the old days, it used to be depending on how the rep put the case forward, and you'd find out what the root cause, what the migration. So we've now put the cart before the horse, and we're actually all working together to get the root cause so that we can actually solve those problems. So fair culture, for instance, is another way of great collaboration between the unions and the management. So anybody else before I pick on somebody else? Okay, Clyde, you'll have to have a go. Oh, sorry. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yep, good point. Oh.
Will it be recorded?
Right.
Well, you need to make the most of it here now, then, on behalf of all of your colleagues.
Yeah, so just pretend you're on the phone and ask us some more questions.
Well,
I know that there are various avenues that happen. I know, for instance, there is a Track Safety Alliance group where we get myself go, Matt goes, various other reps, and also the managers of major firms, and also through the IP. And Steve Featherson is very keen to get that up and running, and that spreads through. And then you've got, is it the Southern Shield that you've got through, which again interacts with most of the routes, and so that's happening through. And I think there's more of it happens through Works Delivery now, I believe, as well, they're starting that bit. So, yeah, it is getting joined up, so it's not just the routes. So instead of having the silos, we are cutting across the silos to sort of learn from each other and share experiences.
I think it's every quarter, actually, that there's a health and safety meeting with our key contractors, and I went to the last one, actually, and we had it in this room, actually. We had very good attendance and extremely interactive, actually, and I guess we mustn't think, because we're a network rail and have a slightly sort of monopolistic position in some way, that we've always got all the answers, because I had my eyes open to a number of initiatives that our key contractors are actually bringing in their organisations, and they're also very willing to listen to what we're doing and give their take on actually, is that going to work or is it not? But I was also quite impressed with the safety leadership that was in the room from those contracting companies. They get it, and actually they're leading the way better than us none of these things, so we need to make sure we increase that sort of collaboration and listen to them as well, because we don't have all the answers. Yeah.
I think one of the things we've noticed, and the roadshow, the workshops are very good at doing that, is actually rolling out some of the things, because we tend to forget about the changeover in staff and actually the changeover in managers. So if you was to go back, say, 5 years, you've probably got something like 30-40% change in the management structure and within the staff. So it's often actually we assume that people know things and that they remember. So, but corporate memory actually fades rather quickly, especially with change. So what I would like to see is actually that we don't just roll something out once and then that's it, forget about it, but we actually keep doing it. So the aim of National Safety Week wasn't just to have a safety week, it was to kickstart it and then sort of get it, build it up so we can upskill the local reps, the area reps, and keep it going and just make it generally more proactive. So We've noticed in some of the other routes that are not so enlightened, but Fair Culture, for instance, is a bit hit and miss. And one of the routes is way off the scale, so we know we've got a big bit of work to pull that back. So again, it's just constantly reaffirming what we've done and just not assuming that people know the answers. It's always check and double check, really.
Mm.
And I won't name the route. All right. All right, north of the river then, there you go.
I think it's a timely question when people are having their sort of annual performance reviews, which should be about the what as well as the how. And that's also a good time to not only talk about what's happened in the past year, based in terms of what you've delivered and how you've delivered it, how collaborative have you been, can you give examples of that, but also when setting objectives for the following year. And often it, you know, you perhaps focus on what is measured or what your line manager is perhaps going to talk to you about. And if you know that going into those sorts of discussions there's going to be a discussion about the how and the behaviours and how collaborative, perhaps we all left our game a little bit on that and in that zone. So I think now, at the time when those reviews are happening and the objective setting for next year, it's a good time to remember those kind of core values.
I think another bit of collaboration is when we actually get people coming up to us to tell us about incidents that occurred, because unfortunately within this industry we tend to wait for something to go wrong before we actually do anything. So a good showing of collaboration and making sure that we can trust each other would be for actually people to come start telling us, A, about some of the good that happens, because it's usually just negative, but there is a lot of good, but also to actually own up and say, look, this happened, and almost close call themselves, you know, put that in as a behaviour, and behavioural close calls would be the best one to get in, because that will give us the biggest win. So if you think somebody's attitude or whatever, you talk to them, but then close call that and say, do you realise how you come across? So.
Yeah, but we've not always been that great. We tend to do the close calls on the situation, don't we, rather than on the behaviours, and that's something we can.
And behaviours really are the ones. So if you look at the way it's changed throughout Network Rail and how it's a bit more open, and even the union's approach to actually working with the management, you go 10 years, this would not have happened. We'd have had to meet with a structured approach and that would be the end of the story. But so we've come an awful long way, but we will get a lot further. So.
Yeah, look, I think that's key. Obviously, it's very new news, and we're in a sort of 10-day standstill period, which means we're somewhat constrained on quite how much engagement we can have. But by the end of this week, you know, that the gates will be opened and we'll be able to start that interaction. And I've been chatting to the team earlier today, actually, about making sure that we set up that first kind of formal meeting with our new main TOC, as they will be from the 20th of August, and set out on that agenda the things that are important to us. And as you know with me, number one will be all about safety. So we have, there's been quite a lot of room who it might be and when the announcement might get announced. It could have been considerably later than it is now. So I think the advantage that we've got is we have now got a few months to prepare ourselves and to establish those good working relationships and to be able to impart to our new TOC how important safety is for us and how we need that to continue. Because to be honest, there will be a period of change and there will be a period of churn, but the most important thing for all of us is safety and continued efficient operations for all of our customers, actually. That is absolutely the number one. And just because we're making it a little bit more challenging by having the Waterloo blockade in the middle of the franchise change, these are all just challenges that we're going to meet and rise to the challenge. So, it's about setting ourselves up on the right footing with our new TOC, in very short order.
Any more?
No.
Go.
No, thanks for that. I think that's a very, very good point, Darren. As you say, we're just on the cusp of that victory up move. It's going to happen very soon. But you raise a good point about there's lots of pieces who are feeling kind of pretty uncertain, and whilst it might not ultimately affect them kind of personally in terms of their jobs, you know, it's a period of massive uncertainty. 20 years of having a franchise is a hell of a long time. We have to put ourselves in their shoes and just, you know, help them get through it. Thank you. Great. Okay. If there aren't any more questions, thank you.
One more.
Yeah, no, I might think that your point very well made. Great. Well, listen, thank you very much to all of you for coming. Please make the most of this collaboration opportunity and get involved this week in the Health and Safety Week. And many thanks to AJ for making the trip.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. And thank you so much for your participation. You may now disconnect and have a great day.